Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I am lead pastor here at South Granville Church. With me, as always, my friend and co-host, Ben Netz.
Hello, hello.
Ben, some would say that October is the greatest month in Michigan. What would you say to that statement?
I would say those people are not from Michigan. or not like me.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the cold at all.
Okay.
No.
Do you enjoy the fall on any level?
I enjoy apple cider slushies, and that's about as far as I'll take it.
Where does one procure an apple cider slushie?
You have to find just the right gas station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a connoisseur of fine gas station foods?
No, I'm just a lucky guy who knows where to find apple cider slushies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am one of those people who would say October is the greatest month in Michigan. I actually really like being cold. There's a thing called reverse seasonal affective disorder, and I don't know if I technically have that, but maybe you've heard of people in the winter kind of get the blues or experience depression on a deeper level, maybe. And some people experience that in the summer, and I wouldn't go that far, but I am always happy to pull out my long sleeve shirts and make tea and be cold. So it's a happy time of year for me.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. So this week we're continuing in Acts, and we're kind of picking up where we left off in chapter 4. If you remember last week, Peter and John ran into a group of leaders called the Sadducees who were not happy that they were talking about Jesus because they see Jesus as a threat to their positions of authority. And so this week, Peter and John kind of come back to the Christian community, and they lay out what's happened to them. And then the group of believers who's there prays together. And there's a few things that I think we can learn from their prayer. They kind of start out by recognizing God as being God and in control of the situation. Even though these human authorities are giving them a hard time, they want to remember that God is the ultimate authority and the one that they need to listen to the most. And then they quote from Psalm 2, where David is talking about other nations, other people who kind of rail against God and oppose his will. And that also is, I think, a helpful kind of centering thing for them. It reminds them that opposition to God and his purposes is not a new thing, that they shouldn't be surprised that they're experiencing it, nor should we be surprised as we experience it today. And then they kind of launch into their application part of their prayer, and they ask God to give them boldness and the courage to continue praying in the face of adversity and opposition. And so on Sunday, we talked about what it looks like for us to pray in a similar way, to recognize our dependence on God to fulfill our mission, and what it looks like for us to just remember that there's nothing we're going to be able to do in order to make a difference for the kingdom unless we're partnering with God and asking him to work kind of in us and through us along the way. So Ben, one of my questions about this passage is whether or not there would be a difference if Peter and John had just kind of prayed on their own, if they had gotten away from the Sadducees and they just kind of talked and prayed together and then went along with whatever it was that they were doing. Do you think it matters that they all prayed together as a whole church?
I think it totally matters. In fact, I don't think that part of Scripture would have even been put in the Bible. Maybe it would have just been a small snippet that Peter and John prayed.
Hmm.
On to the next thing. But I think it was really important that they did pray with everybody in the church because it created an experience that was shared by all of them that they all could be a part of versus just a snippet acknowledging, okay, we went through this, we prayed, on to the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that way everybody had the chance to prepare for this kind of growing opposition that the whole church is going to experience. And we were kind of joking beforehand that, you know, you could imagine Peter and John 2 or 3 days later running into somebody and he's like, hey, somebody gave me a hard time. What's going on? And they're like, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you. We got arrested. And you might get arrested too. Sorry.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. I think there's something, it's hard to quantify, but I think there's something important about the church praying together that God is somehow present to us in a different way when we're all together. Again, the people had the chance to spiritually prepare, but I also think that God is present when his people are united. And we've seen in Acts a couple times that the early church is united in purpose, united, treating each other as one. And so they're coming before God together as one voice and saying, this is important, this is what we're asking for together. And I think God responds differently, even though it's not that he doesn't hear us when we pray alone or that those prayers don't matter, but I don't know, there's something significant about being all together.
Yeah, there's definitely strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And that unifying effect when we're all praying together versus alone by ourselves. I think when you're alone, you tend to pray, but maybe you start to feel doubts about, did my prayer really work? Is it going to be effective? But you get that strength when you're praying with everybody who also is on the same page, praying for the same things.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how you said that. There's something about being together. And, you know, the reason why God has put us in the church together, that we experience his presence together. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to hang out on your own and listen to the 4130 podcast, but it's not the same as being in the church together with God's people.
This Sunday, we'll be listening to the 4130 instead of the sermon, right?
That would
together.
Be
together.
Yeah. And I will be somewhere else. So Ben, this is a little bit more personal question, but I think we both agree that, yeah, we can read this passage and say prayer is important. But what are some of the barriers in your life that maybe get in the way of making prayer more important or allowing it to happen either on your own or with other people?
I think for me, it's just my lifestyle. The work that I'm in as an entrepreneur / freelancer, kind of do everything guy, I'm on my own a lot. So I tend to load myself up with a lot of things to do. I feel like I've got to do it or nobody else will. In some situations, it's like that.
Yeah.
But I think that puts me in a habit of relying on myself too much and not enough on God. And so I think my prayer life suffers as a part of that lifestyle or part of maybe a bad habit of doing that.
Yeah, we've talked about that already a couple times, that mentality or that mindset of, you know, I'm gonna take care of it. I'm going to do it. It's up to me.
Right.
And it's very easy to do tasks all day and forget to involve God or forget that if God's not in the process with you, you know, you can only do so much.
Right. And some of that, I think, is just Americana. I feel like the hard work ethic of Americans, that's probably built into us a little bit there too.
Yeah. Yeah. We this summer as a staff, we talked about trying to pull away for like an afternoon and spend time with God. And we said, you know, hey, we're in ministry. This is very much part of our job. And yet we all reflected about how difficult that was. And you're thinking about your list and you're thinking about people in other vocations where maybe their boss is not going to say, why don't you take 2 hours and pray and put that on your time card? You know, that's an opportunity that somebody with a more flexible schedule maybe has, but it's not a cultural value by any stretch. So it's hard to give yourself permission.
Right. Yeah. And for me, it was eye-opening to realize I can't even find 2 hours in a day or in a week that I can just be alone with God or to reflect on scripture. Like, that was kind of an eye-opener to say, hey, here's some things to work on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I felt the same way, and I've talked to pastor friends as well that we can do all these things for God, and then at the end of the day realize, like, was God, you know, did I even acknowledge that God should be the one leading the way, or am I just kind of hoping he blesses all this stuff I've been running around trying to do? How about for us as a church, Ben, do you think there are ways that we could be praying together more kind of as, quote-unquote, South Granville?
Yeah, well, this Sunday you mentioned the possibility of a prayer service coming up.
Yeah.
And I think that would be really beneficial. Sometimes prayer can get hard to do all the time. Sometimes it starts to feel repetitive or not meaningful or not real intentional.
Right.
I think if we had a service that people can come to specifically to give their prayer request or to be prayed for, that gives a different experience than just a 5-minute congregational prayer on Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And, you know, of course, praying for people having surgery, and we have a number of people dealing with cancer, and that's core to who we are and what we want to do as a church. But it's also good to be able to pray for the mission and pray for kind of what we're doing, to be able to pray for people that, you know, hey, I talked to my neighbor and they're not part of a church, but they're curious or they're asking questions. You know, and I would love to see our staff get prayed over and the kids involved in our programming, all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that doing that together can help make that happen.
Right. And just like the early church, where it would have been different if Peter and John had just prayed by themselves, but they included the whole church in this time of prayer. Mm-hmm. I feel like as a church, if we're more intentional with setting aside some time to pray as a church for each other, I think we're going to feel the Holy Spirit working, and I think it's going to be something memorable and something that we can take with us for another week or another month. Each week we like to ask you, is there more to the sermon? Is there things that time-wise you just couldn't fit in? Maybe some extra things that you'd like to share with us that give us more background or more insight into what was going on?
Yeah, on Sunday we talked about the Sadducees and their opposition to the gospel. And we talked about how, okay, the early church shouldn't be surprised that they're experiencing that, nor should we. It's different. You know, our experience is nothing like what people went through in the first century or what a lot of Christians around the world experience, and we can be grateful for that. But culture is changing, and there's definitely a movement away from Christianity. You know, there's a rise in people who claim no religious affiliation, and there's pushback against different parts of the gospel. So one of the resources that I drew from was this book called Disappearing Church by a guy named Mark Sayers. He's Australian, and he also has a podcast that's a little heady, but it's really great if you can get into it. It's called This Cultural Moment, and he and another pastor spend a lot of time just kind of dissecting. These are the ways culture is changing. These are some of the reasons why. But if you were looking for a book, that book, Disappearing Church, and then the follow-up, Reappearing Church, are very, very helpful in terms of understanding this is what it means to be in a post-Christian society. And these are the ways that the church is hoping to be an influence in the culture, but then also recognizing the culture is trying to be an influence on the church. And it was just really helpful. I went through that a couple years ago with a group of pastors and just really put words to a lot of the things that we've noticed and experienced. So I would highly recommend that book, or if you're getting into podcasts, This Cultural Moment is great as well.
Well, I think that wraps it up for us here at the 4130 Show. Again, 4130 comes from the address of our church here on 4130 Wilson Avenue, Granville, Michigan. If you'd like to find out more about our podcast, you can take a look at our website, southgranvillechurch.org/podcast. We'll bring you right to our page. AJ, is there anything you'd like to fill us in with?
Yeah, if you'd like to share the 4130 Show, we're on iTunes and Spotify. Ratings and reviews are very helpful. And we've also been encouraging people to post the podcast on Facebook as well so that others can see it and take a listen.
Thanks again, as always, and enjoy your week. We'll see you next time on the 4130 Show. As always, each week, stop laughing at me.
It's so easy.
It's my gift to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this...
Now who's laughing at who here?
Yeah, it's my turn.